You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, everyone. I am Martina Cunha, and you're listening to Backstage Talk. Welcome back, everyone. This is another episode of Backstage Talk, and today I have the honor of having over one of the most amazing young artists I found on social media. This is Trent Soyster. So, Trent, I'm going to leave you to introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Trent Soyster. I'm a New York City-based actor, performer, director, choreographer, educator, sort of bunch of different things. I'm originally from the suburbs just north of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I studied there for, about 10 years through my high school years doing theater professionally in my hometown. And then I came to New York for my fall freshman semester at Pace University. And have been at Pace for 5 years now because various projects have taken me away from school. And so I'm finishing up my senior year and have just had honestly the honor of working at a bunch of different regional theaters and stock theaters. And I've gone on tour and teaching around the country. And so sort of finishing that up is sort of what I'm up to right now, and various teaching gigs. And I'm based in Brooklyn now, so that's the latest and the greatest.
Tell us a little bit about Pace, because when I was reading all your website, you did a lot of things at Pace. So it's been like a wild ride.
It's been a crazy ride. So I actually, take it back to senior year of high school, I wanted to do sort of a varied college experience, meaning that I wanted to have as many, experiences as I could. So I interviewed for directing programs, like undergrad in, like a bachelor in directing. And then I also auditioned for BFA in musical theater programs. And ultimately, I think the decision came down to location for me. My options were sort of varied in where I could go. And the one school that I got into in New York was Pace for directing. And I think I took that as a sign to just get to the city as quick as possible. Being 18 years old and in the suburbs of Pennsylvania, I was like, I just want to get there. And kind of make it, make it as great as I can and make it my own. So I moved to New York, in the fall of 2016. And, I came to school for a BA in directing. So the interesting thing about that program is that it was a new program at the time, so I would have only been the fourth class to graduate from the directing undergrad program at Pace University, which was exciting to me to kind of get to, like, help shape the program into, you know, what it could be one day. So I did 2 years in that department, and I honestly, it was some of my fondest college memories was being in that department. I had the opportunity to work on so many projects. I think the really cool thing about the kids in that program, not kids, the young adults, I guess, or like my colleagues in that program, was that they were the most interesting, unique, hungry for art people that I've ever met in my whole life. And they were constantly like making work that was new and cutting edge. And that was really inspiring to me. And so within that program, going into my freshman year, they were looking for an assistant director for the fall main stage production of Jesus Christ Superstar. And they called me up and were like, "Trent, do you want the job?" And I was like, sure, you know, you don't really say no to an opportunity like that. And so I had the fortune of assisting Gina Rattan and Sarah Ogleby. So Gina and Sarah have worked on Broadway on shows like Matilda and Cinderella and the NBC live productions of Sound of Music and I think something else. And so, you know, here I was an 18-year-old assisting these people that were working on huge projects and getting the opportunity to just be in the room and soak in all that information was honestly the biggest blessing of that first year of school. And then, so I went through my freshman year and did a bunch of various projects. I did a new musical in a warehouse in Brooklyn in my spring semester of freshman year. And then summer between my freshman and sophomore years, I started auditioning a lot is the other thing. So I knew coming to New York, I wanted to audition and I wanted to, you know, hone my performance skills as much as possible. So I was auditioning a lot and I ended up booking a bunch of theater work for as a performer for that first summer of college. And I think that started to make my wheels turn as to, you know, I can make a career as both a creative and as a performer. And that really was honestly, I think, the most encouraging thing for me, because I was scared, honestly, that going to a program for directing was going to sort of like pigeonhole me or put me down this path of just doing this one thing, of just sort of sitting behind the table when I knew I was so hungry to be on stage. And so I auditioned for a bunch of summer work and I booked the regional premiere of Newsies. So I did, I guess it was the Northeastern regional premiere of Newsies. So I did a production of Newsies at Pittsburgh CLO, which is in my hometown. So that was amazing and completely full circle. And like, I could not have had a better first experience working in college as a performer. And then I did a production of Cats. I played Mr. Mistopheles at a summer stock in New Hampshire. And then that same theater, I played Angie in Gypsy. So that first summer I did three shows and I was like, it was, like I said, it was just so encouraging to work professionally as a performer. And also, you know, during the school year, I kind of thought of it as like summer was my time to perform professionally. And then the school year was sort of my time to like hone in on my skills as a director choreographer. And that works for me for the first like 2 years of college. And then sophomore year, I was working on, we do this new musical festival at Pace, which is another incredible thing about Pace is that there's so many opportunities for performance and for creating and collaborating. And so sophomore year, I was working on a production of a new musical called Mary and Max by Crystal Skillman and Bobby Cronin. I'll plug them because they're amazing. and it was the greatest, honestly, the greatest honor of working in any production at college. It was the most stimulating. And as a sophomore, I was assistant directing and I was also the choreographer. So I think it really let me like wear that hat of being in charge of the room and not just like assisting, assistant to the person at the head of the room. And you know, here I was sophomore, like choreographing for seniors. And it was one of those moments where I think for so long I had this idea that like the creatives are always older than the actors. And that's just yeah. never the case actually. Right. Like there's always older actors than the creative members. And so that was the first time that I was able to like actually, I think, step into my, I don't want to say power, but step into sort of the responsibilities that it comes with being a younger sort of creative person. And I was assistant directing. The director was the head of the BFA musical theater program at Pace. And as I sort of got to know her, we sort of had this dialogue about, you know, what would make, what, how do I see my career going? What do I see myself doing in the long run, really? I had already been asked to be the associate choreographer for the main stage musical that spring. So I was the associate on the Drowsy Chaperone. And that fall, right before that, I had assistant choreographed the main stage play. So I was kind of doing 100 things. And I was also in the Emergent Choreographers Workshop. So it's called Emergence, and it's student choreography workshop that we do at Pace every fall. So I was kind of like, my face was showing up all over the place. And she was kind of like, who are you? What are you, what's going on? Like, what do you see yourself doing? And, you know, as I laid it out for her, I think I realized as much as she did that I would actually be a better fit for the BFA musical theater program. So we talked about transferring, and that I did. So I finished out that spring of sophomore year as a directing major. And the deal was that I was going to go into the BFA musical theater program, but I was going to have to do an extra year of school. So I, you know, that was also another big conversation to be had with my parents and with my friends and my mentors. Like, is this worth it? You know, is it worth it to transfer majors within a department that I'm already finding a lot of success and opportunities in? And ultimately we decided that it was worth it for me to sort of go the musical theater route. And then that next summer, I actually went abroad with a show that I created called Bloom, along with an ensemble of actors in the directing program. So I took it to Croatia and performed and presented it at Croatia's First Ever Youth Theater Festival, which was incredible. Like, another just like amazing opportunity that I got while, you know, in my undergrad. And then that summer I went abroad. That summer I choreographed a production of Newsies at a dinner theater. And then I started working at a company called Young Artists of America. Thanks to one of my friends, Maddie Rodrigue, plugging her, hired me to assist her and to teach some of the dance classes. So that I did. So that summer I assistant choreographed Parade. And so that summer was sort of like, I flipped that whole like sort of theory that I had of like perform during the summer, choreograph and direct during the year. Now it was like choreograph and direct during the summer, perform during the year. Because I knew that going into a performance-based track that the whole next school year was going to be performance. So then that junior year rolls around. I'm a musical theater major, finally. I worked on a production of Mamma Mia that fall. I assistant choreographed and directed a production of Mamma Mia at Narrows Theater in Brooklyn. I assisted Chaz Wolcott, who is just like one of my greatest mentors, dear friend of mine. He actually directed and choreographed the production of Cats that I did that summer right before. So he's been a true blessing in my life since moving to New York. He's given me many an opportunity. I assistant directed and choreographed that. So it was a project away from school. I felt like I was starting to get sort of my feet sunken into the sand here in New York. And then that same January rolls around, new musical festival happens again. This year we did a production of Pete Herpan, basically like a Peter Pan, but like Jane is sort of like leading you through the story. It was incredible. And this was, I think, the ultimate test of me as a creative and as a performer, because I played Michael Darling and I was the dance captain and I was the assistant choreographer. So here I am, like, juggling 100 things, being like, I do it all, I promise. And felt like I was pretty successful at it. I don't know, ask my castmates if I was, but I felt like I was doing, I felt like I had a solid handle on it. And so that rolls around, and then spring of my junior year, I got an email in my inbox about an invited dance call for the Escape to Margaritaville National Tour. And I honestly, at first, I was kind of like, I don't know. Like, I was just kind of like, I think, like, I'm okay. Like, I know, it sounds crazy now. It really sounds insane now. Right. I honestly think I was like, I was, we had found the way that I was going to make it work for me to graduate in 4 years from Pace instead of five. So I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to mess everything up now if I like leave. And this was like an audition. This wasn't even like you got the job. Mm-hmm. This was like, come to the invited audition. And I was like, okay, what do I have to lose? Really? What do I have to lose? Same time, I'm working on Broadway Cares, Equity Fights, AIDS production of Easter Bonnet at the Minskoff. So I was working on the Come From Away piece. I danced in that at the Minskoff, spring of, I guess, that would have been 2019. And I was doing, so I was in the invited audition for Escape to Margaritaville. The associate choreographer, Andrew Turtletaub, plugging Andrew, he was the associate for the Come From Away piece at Easter Bonnet. So here I am like working with him during the day and auditioning for him at night. So then we had this sort of like great rapport of like, I see you, you see me. Like we both know that we're like, we're seeing each other all the time, right? For like a month. So I had one invited audition for Margaritaville. I was like, yeah, cool, that went well. What, you know, my boyfriend at the time came pick me up. We had dinner. Like, it was awesome. And kind of didn't think twice about it. And that night I got an email being like, can you make it to final callbacks tomorrow morning? Or I think maybe the invited audition was like Thursday and they were like, final callbacks are Saturday. I was like, okay. So like, I guess I just like passed through a bunch of rounds because I was like all of a sudden being asked to come to final callbacks. So that I did. I showed up to final callbacks and I don't know, I guess there were maybe like 30-ish guys left at that point. And went in, did the combos, saw Andrew Turtletaub again, you know, did that whole thing of like, here I am again. Met Kelly Devine, the choreographer. And I did one of the combos. They taught us a new combo. Or actually, no. The people who had went to the open call learned one dance. The invited audition, the invited callback, learned a second combo. So everyone that had been there since like round one knew both combos, but the people that were only invited to that second callback only knew one combo. And I was one of those people. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know the combo. Like I only know one of these. So they quickly taught us the second combo before the creative team got there. And we did it. And I remember, honestly, I think this is when I knew I booked the job, and that sounds crazy, but you'll understand why. So we did it, and we went through all the groups of learning, and then they're like, all right, everyone go wait in the hallway. We'll call you in groups. Give us like probably 30 minutes to get everything, you know, organized and ready, and we'll call you in. We're on our way out of the room, and Turtle's like, Trent, can you stick around for a second? I'm like, oh gosh. So I'm like, sure. So I like go back in the room. Kelly Devine stands up from the table, you know, in her gorgeous, gorgeous blonde locks. Kelly Devine's the choreographer of Escape to Margaritaville, also like Diana on Broadway, also Come From Away, like she's a rock star. She's like, hey, I'm Kelly. I'm like, oh my God, I'm freaking out. Hi, I'm Trent. And she's like, hey, you're crushing it today. Would you mind like going and teaching the combo to a few guys that came late?
You're kidding.
And I was like, no, full out, like full send. I was like, okay, inhale, exhale. I think I just booked this gig, but I don't know. So I was like, yes, 100%, I will do that. So I like go in the hallway. I'm like, if you can't, no, they came out. They were like, if you came late and you need to like refresh the combo, like Trent's going to lead a quick like brush up rehearsal in this other room. And I was like, okay, so I think this is going well for me. And it's funny now hearing people that were in that callback that were my castmates for a year recall this story because they're like, yeah, we fully knew if one person booked out of that room, it was you because they, like, I literally was teaching the combo.
You were being like a dance captain.
Yeah, literally. So we all went back in and we did the combo. And I guess it was probably like, 2 days later, I got a call asking me if I wanted to join the tour. And at that point, honestly, I was like super torn. I was like, I didn't know. I was like, not that I didn't want to go on tour. Of course, I wanted to go on tour and, like, do the thing that we've all been training to do. But I also felt like I had spent so much of my time investing in PACE and in my education. And my education, it is really important to me. And I think that I wanted to just, like, check every box and make sure that, like, everyone was going to be okay with me leaving for tour. Of course, there were some duds that were like, no, you need to stay in school. But, like, for the most part, I felt, like, overwhelmingly supported by school and by my mentors and by, like, my family and friends that I was like, I just don't think there's a reason that I should say no to this opportunity. Like, it just doesn't make sense. I'm 21 years old. Like, it's the first national tour. Like, I have to do it. So I said yes, and the rest is history. So then I guess what this initial question was school, right? About PACE.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
but it's then, okay. It's okay.
Okay. So then I guess, so then I took off what would have been my senior year. I took a year away from school. I took a leave of absence. And honestly, that was really tough, like watching my friends graduate and watching my friends have showcase and watching my friends, you know, that I went through 4 years of college, 3 years of college with, graduate. It was like really difficult. I won't lie. It was definitely an interesting sort of experience to be like out working and having this cool experience on the road, but also like seeing my friends that I basically like grew up with at college, finish out their degrees. And then I knew 100% at the end of tour, at the end of the first year of the tour, I was going back to school. There was no questioning it. I basically, on the first day of rehearsal, I will never forget, and Brian Schrader, plugging Brian Schrader from Troika, was like, so, you know, year one of the tour is going to end on July 5th, and that is when your contracts are up, like, but there's a possible extension, you know, we might continue through the fall of 2020 or the spring of 2021, like, who knows what's going to happen, but there's definitely, like, we're definitely thinking we're going to extend past that. And I raised my hand, and I was like, I just want to make sure, like, I'm going to be done on July 5th, though. And everyone was like, Trent, it's day one. But I was, like, so solid in my idea that, like, I was going back to school, and I was coming back to get my degree, and, like, I spent too much time and money and effort and energy into this degree to not finish. So I made that abundantly clear from the get-go. So I went through tour, and March rolled around, coronavirus sent us all home, and I am back in school for senior year, so I'm part-time. I just finished up my fall semester. I have like 3 credits left. I have 2 classes. It's literally a voice lesson and my senior showcase. So I'm so close to the finish line. But technically I'm a senior now, super senior. So, but finishing out this year. So I see the finish line. The finish line is so close.
I'm really happy to know that you booked Escape to Margaritaville, because let me tell you one thing. I did a double major in college. Right now, I'm 26, and I just graduated last September. Like, I mean,
wow.
It's been wild for me. I graduated high school in 2012, then I did 1 year of film school, and then I transferred to another college to do a communications major, and 1 year in that communications major, I started performing arts.
Mm-hmm.
So in total, it was 7 years at the college I graduated on.
Okay.
And then at the year of film school before that.
Wow.
So it was 8 years of college.
You've been at it for a while.
Yeah. So I understand your feeling of, I see the finish line, but it's so far away, but it's, I can see it, but it's so far.
Yep.
A year 100%. Ago, exactly, I got my performing arts bachelor, and in September this year, I got the communications bachelor, and it was
yay.
Like, okay, finally, I'm out of college. And I mean, this is funny because people in the States start working at a really, really, really young age.
Yeah.
Yeah, people here wait until they have their degree to start working. So it's, I mean, it would have been crazy if you didn't took that gig.
And I mean, honestly, like looking back, especially like if you look at the past year that we've had, I think that I would have graduated, quote unquote, on time, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't have that credit or that, like, experience that I'm so fortunate to have had when I was 21.
Yep.
You know, I left for tour when I was 21 years old, so I learned a lot, and I think actually, like, I learned more on the road than I could have during senior year, and that's nothing against the education, but it's everything for experience is education.
Totally. Plus, yeah. it was, like, meant to be. Like, all right, it's not the ideal for performers to learn through a laptop or a Zoom class, but,
yep.
I mean, you got to travel and a lot of experience on being on tour, and, like, the less it would be to have graduated virtually.
100%.
So,
yeah,
that's really, really cool. And also, you have a minor in commercial dance.
Yeah, so I guess I forgot that part. So, at Pace, I started in the directing department, and then I auditioned for the minor in commercial dance, and I got it. And the program for commercial dance is, like, really selective, and they take, like, maybe 2 or 3 minors a year. And there's normally, like, not any non-MTs that have the dance minor, just because the performing arts programs are already so small.
Mm-hmm.
And within the Department of Performing Arts, it's, like, you kind of stick to your own track, so to speak. And so to try to cross over and do something else and take classes with different majors, it's really difficult. But I, you know, in true Trent fashion, was like, well, I'll try it. So I auditioned and I got it. And so there were me and 2 other boys that got it that year. And so then I added a minor in commercial dance. And I also think that was, like, a tipping point for the musical theater department heads that were like, so you're a directing major, but you have a minor in dance. And I was just kind of like, yeah, yes, I don't know what else to say. That is correct. And so that was more of just a thing for them, I think, to be like, oh, so this guy does, you know, the dance department has seen him do things. And now, like, let's see, you know, I think it was kind of like, let's see what would work best for him. So I'm very grateful for it. It was an amazing, I got to take classes with the dance majors. I got to, you know, I performed in, like I said, in the Emergence Choreography Showcase, which is just mainly the dance majors. I guess technically you can be outside of the dance majors, but it's run by the dance department. And then full circle, the dance department head came to see our opening night of Margaritaville in LA. So it was like full circle moment of like, and one of her actual dance students was my roommate for the second half of tour. So I was on tour with someone that I went to college with. It was pretty awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
On your description on the website, I loved 3 things. The first one was showbiz has always been in my blood. Like, I mean, that is the best definition for every single thespian and
yeah,
more for
yep.
Broadway people that are so
yeah.
passionate about things. The yep. second one was you typing the script of Wicked while watching the bootleg. Because,
yeah.
boy, I felt that because I did the
yep.
same with Next to Normal and then I found the PDF online.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I absolutely love that.
Yep.
And the last thing is your description of how you have different hats when it comes
yeah.
to theater and performance.
Yeah.
And I actually love that right now you have an Escape from Margaritaville hat.
Yep.
I love it.
Yep. Very on brand.
So, how has it been to be, like, on stage and backstage for a lot of things?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. I think, like, for me, it's always been about, like, where's the opportunity? And so I think having that, like, broad scope of things that I can do and of hats that I can wear, actually just gives me more work. In its very simplest form, it's like there's more work because I do more things. And I actually am so, so glad that I started doing that early. When I really started to realize that I wanted to do some directing and choreographing as well, I was probably in high school, and I choreographed a production of Honk Junior, which is like the musical production of The Ugly Duckling, at our community theater, and I was in 10th grade, and I started to be like, I really enjoy sitting behind the table, and I really enjoy creating, and I enjoy being in the room almost more than I enjoy performing itself. And so I did an internship at a theater company in downtown Pittsburgh called Front Porch Theatricals.
Where you did the last 5 years.
Yeah, I did the last 5 years. I did The Light in the Piazza. I did The Spitfire Grill, and I did Floyd Collins. And so this was the summer of my junior and senior year of high school. And I realized how much I enjoyed being behind the table. And even if it was just to like soak in the information that the creatives were sharing, I was living for that experience to be creative and in the room and in involved in the production from pre-production all the way through opening night. Mm-hmm. So I think that was highly the inspiration for, you know, interviewing for directing programs as well as musical theater departments. I also think I would be doing myself a disservice if I didn't share about my experience at Pittsburgh CLO as a kid. So, and my very beginning was at Act One Theater School, plugging Act One, in Pittsburgh. I really did start in like when I was five. Like I was the youngest kid. I played a Wickersham brother in Seussical. Like I was the tiniest little tot, being like, I had a solo that was like hanging out on a limb, looking down on him, something like that. I don't know. It was like in the jungle of Newell, and I had a solo, and I was like, I was in first grade. Like I literally started so young, and then I started taking classes at Pittsburgh CLO, which is an institute in Pittsburgh that has an academy attached to it. So the mm-hmm. Pittsburgh CLO Academy of Musical Theater. And I would go to my normal public high school during the day. And then right after school, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, I would go downtown and take class. So I would have my jazz class, my ballet class, my tap class, audition techniques, acting, whatever, acting for film. So I really started training when I was like really hardcore in like sixth grade. And then I started my professional work in middle school. First production that I was ever in as a paid performing actor was a production of a musical Christmas Carol in the seventh grade. I played the turkey boy. My middle school came to see it as a field trip, and I felt like the coolest person in the world. Little did I know what was going to come, but like I thought it was just like the most amazing thing ever. And so I think that, you know, I started that because I started performing so young, and because I started working professionally when I was in middle school. I did a few like regional commercials mm-hmm. and a national commercial. So I started to get the itch to do something more than just perform because I started so young. And, you know, that has led me to like today. I mean, I assist choreographers in the city all the time. I assist directors in the city all the time. I honestly think that my experience at Pace let me connect with a bunch of different directors in a way that I don't know I'd be able to without Pace. I mean, you know, I have assisted people like Sam Pinkleton, who choreographed Amelie and Significant Other and Great Comet on Broadway. I've assisted Dennis Jones, like literal Broadway's Dennis Jones. So it's crazy to like be in a position where I'm in the room with these people. Even though right now it's a Zoom room, it's still a room. and to just like get to soak in that information and be a sponge. And that has ultimately, I think, led to opportunities behind the table because mm-hmm. I'm willing to just to sit and to take in the information and to kind of be the right-hand man to that person and whatever they need. Yeah, I mean, and also it has led to some, you know, full-length productions that I've directed and choreographed. I did, like I mentioned, a production of Newsies. I directed and choreographed a production of Wizard of Oz. I choreographed a production of Smokey Joe's, all four professional institutes, as like a 21 or 22-year-old. So, and actually last summer, sad, hopefully it's happening this summer, I was going to choreograph, it was going to be my first, like, big, full production as sole choreographer at a summer stock theater called Interlakes Theater, and I was going to choreograph Grease. Hopefully it will happen next summer. Yet another casualty of coronavirus, but I am so super grateful for that opportunity and for that gig. And yeah, it's just, you know, having as many opportunities is, I feel like I'm always chasing after the next thing, which has been tricky in this time because it's like opportunities are few and far between these days. But, you know, I'm just trying to keep the channel open and just keep, you know, as ready to work as possible.
I have to ask you, what are the skills that you think you can transfer from hat to hat?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think number one is being, like, an open vessel. And I think if I took nothing else away from my directing training, it's that the director is actually more of a collaborator than anyone else in the room. And, you know, you think of the directors, like, they stand at the front of the room and tell you what to do and where to go and all of these things, but actually, like, they're taking in information from everyone else, and they're processing it and receiving it, and then they're sending out what they think is best for the team. And that, I think, is ultimately, like, transferable to any, whether you're the music director, the choreographer, the assistant to the choreographer, the dance captain, the leading man, the whatever it is, like, being open to information, taking it in, and then putting back out your best effort, I think is like the baseline of, like, all theater, right? It's like we listen and respond to art. Like, that is what we do. And I think that, you know, also I think being a good communicator and being respectful in your communications. I've seen so many people shoot themselves in the foot because they say the wrong thing at the wrong time. Or they say something that just didn't sit quite right. And then it's like, well, if you would have given it like 5 minutes for you to just think about what you were going to say or how you were going to offer that feedback or how you were going to address the room, maybe it would have gone better for you, right? So I think that there's a bunch of things that can, you know, transfer. I also find, like, being a young creative person that I have a lot of ideas and I get excited about them quickly. And then I have to, like, pump the brakes and be like, okay, what's our budget? What are my actors? Who do I have in the room? What am I, like, and that part of my brain, I think, is, I'm still honing. I'm still working on that part of my brain that is, like, yes, I can dream up all these things, but it's, like, we have a budget. We have a limit. We have this amount of actors. When we were casting Grease, I was, like, so gung-ho for having, I forget, it was like four, maybe it was five guys and five male and five female identifying ensemble members. And our director wanted something different. And I was so passionate about having these specific five dancers that I loved their auditions and loved their callbacks. And then I was like, pump the brakes, chill out, sit back, like, just take in the room, see what the vibe is. If you still feel this passionate tomorrow, then send the email, right? And so it's, I think, like, having the ability to just, like, chill out and be like, what can I just, like, shut up about for right now? And, like, pick your battles. Mm-hmm. It's like picking your battles, I think, in any situation, whether you're a performer, especially as a dance captain, all of the different, you know, in so many different hats.
One of the classes you're teaching right now at Young Artists of America and Outlook Online Performing Arts is the Dancing Through Musical Theater classes, right?
Yeah.
You created this on your own, this class.
Yeah, so I started teaching. So the reason I mentioned Young Artists of America earlier is because they have truly been like my rock during this, during COVID. I got sent home from the road. I was like, I'm not going to New York. New York was the central hub of COVID. I was like, I need to go home to Pittsburgh. So I went home to Pittsburgh, and my boss at YAA reached out and was like, we want to do some sort of like virtual programming. Do you have any ideas? And so one of my friends and collaborators, Maddie Rodrigue, she's a Radio City Rockette. She's a total rock star. Texted me and was like, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? Like, let's start thinking of ideas now. And I was like, heard, let's do it. So I had this idea to teach a Dancing Through Musical Theater history class where I would do like 15 to 20 minutes of like musical theater history and then do like an hour of a normal dance, a musical theater dance class. And they ate it up. They were like, we are obsessed with this idea. The kids at that time hadn't gotten any musical theater history except for during their summer programming. So I was like, cool, let's bring it into the school year program. So I, you know, and being like a total musical theater nerd, I was like all down for like, and then in 1942, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Oklahoma, and the kids are like, what? But I was like passionate about it. And I think through my passion about it, they started to like get passionate about it too. So I did a semester of that in the spring. And then for the fall, they asked me to come back on and keep the class going. So I teach it every week, every Saturday. So I teach that at YAA. And then at Outlook Online, I teach a jazz class, which is sort of dance through musical theater inspired. It's not exactly the same class, but it's similar. Mm-hmm. At Young Artists of America, I also teach for their studio programs. So I teach their Studio One kids, and then I'm the resident choreographer for the YAA Junior program. So I'm like, again, wearing 1,000 different hats because I'm on their education team and on their production team. So I'm a choreographer and I'm a teacher for them, which is incredible. And truly, like, I can't say enough good things because they have been there for me since like the first Saturday of quarantine. Like I had work, and to this day I have not had a week without work since COVID started, which is like unheard of. But again, I do think like it does go, like, I don't think it goes unnoticed that like I started investing in myself as an educator and as a choreographer and as a director, because in a time like this, if I hadn't done that early on, there's slim pickings for performing jobs these days. So, you know, being able to like put on that hat of teacher, Trent, like gave me the opportunity to keep working, which is, I'm so, so, so grateful.
That's amazing. And I'm really still starstruck because what you put on the description on your website is just like the tip of the iceberg for all the things you do. And each time you mention a new thing, I'm like, damn, this boy is good.
Thank you.
And I'm really, really happy about it. And I'm really happy of all the things you're doing right now. And before we go, where can people find you and take your classes online? Because I know that, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, you gave a class of hip hop and you got people from all around the world.
Yeah, that was amazing. So so you can find me on Instagram. My handle is at tscott8, T-S-C-O-T-T, the number 8. You can find me at my website, which is www.trentsoyster.com. Those are kind of my main points of contact. Contact me, there's a contact page on my website. Shoot me an email. I also teach private. So I have private students as well as my studio students. So I do like hour-long private dance lessons via Zoom, or if you're in the New York City area, socially distanced with a mask on outside. So I have a bunch of private students as well. That was truly amazing. I teach at a place called Broadway Weekends at Home. Gina Duvall, who is Diana in Diana on Broadway, started an online sort of like Broadway community of musical theater students. So she brings in Broadway performers and choreographers and music directors to teach a variety of classes. And so I subbed for one of my good friends, Susie Carroll, for her beginner hip hop class. And hopefully, keeping fingers crossed, I'm going to join them for like a full-time, not full-time position, but for a weekly class starting in January. So look out for that. I'm teaching at Young Artists of America. You can pop into my workshops. I'm actually teaching a How to Swing workshop this Wednesday and the next Wednesday. How to Be a Swing, which is going to be super cool. And going to bring some of my friends who have been swings on Broadway to just sort of talk to us and like guide us through what it's like. And then next semester I have my same schedule again. So I'm at O'Look, I'm at Young Artists of America, and hopefully Broadway Weekends at Home. I'll be teaching a little more there. So lots of cool things happening.
And lots of cool things coming your way. I know that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Thank you.
Well, Trent, thank you for being here. Thank you for coming over. It's been truly amazing to having you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an awesome, awesome conversation.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this new episode of Backstage Talk. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Backstage Talk Podcast.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.